Greatest Choice podcast, where we dive into the topics of singleness, fertility, motherhood, and choice. I'm your host, Katie B. Every episode, I'll deliver conversations with women in their fertile years who are grappling with what to do when life doesn't turn out as planned. You will also hear interviews with experts in the fields of fertility, personal development, choosing single motherhood, and more. Join us as we explore these topics and support each other along the way. Because what you decide to do with these years could be the single greatest choice you'll ever make, and you don't have to make it alone. This week, my guest is Michelle Orovitz, a licensed acupuncturist, Ayurvedic practitioner, and certified hypnotherapist specializing in fertility health. Michelle was inspired to change her career from architecture to acupuncture after having her own reproductive imbalances resolved by her acupuncturist. Her method of treatment encompasses not only herbs and acupuncture, but also incorporates diet, supplements, essential oils, and most importantly, the mind and how it influences conception. She helps women and couples both online and in person, and she is the host of the Wholesome Fertility Podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and if you stay tuned afterwards, there's a little bit of bonus content where I didn't know I was still recording and I captured some stuff that I thought you might want to hear. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Single Greatest Choice Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You are our first guest on the show who is an expert in the field of fertility. And so I'm really excited for you to share your wisdom with our listeners. Could you just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and kind of what led you into this line of work?
Sure, absolutely. So my background's actually in architecture. Many years ago, I used to work in New York City. And what inspired me in general to start natural medicine was my own journey. I didn't get my period. My cycle was like about 3 months long since I got my period at age 13. And I remember going at age 17 to the doctor, and the doctor gave me the pill. That was the only solution I got. And I remember that was my first initial meeting with the disappointment of the Band-Aid treatment. You know, I was like expecting to come home with a solution. I remember even asking the doctor, like, what happens if I get off this? And he said, well, you're going to go back to not getting your period. And I was like, what? It just doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to go with it. So I went on the pill, got off. I was back and forth because a lot of times I didn't really feel quite myself. And I felt like on an intuitive level, like something, it was off. It wasn't something that I felt good to rely on. Plus, my grandmother was always into natural food, natural medicine. And I do believe she planted a seed in my mind about taking pills. So needless to say, it was not an ideal way of treating it, but I really didn't have any solution. I think a lot of people could probably relate to this. So years later, I was 25 years old and went on a backpack trip for about 3.5 months. And the whole time I was away, I didn't get my period. And I came home, and at that point, I'm like, telling my mom, I'm 25 years old. I've got to do something. This is ridiculous. So she had happened to hear about a Chinese medicine doctor, and it just so happened to be that he specialized in gynecology as well. And I remember him sitting me down the first time. He was like the Dalai Lama, the sweetest guy, all joy, just smiles. And I just fell in love with him. And he said, you know, the woman's period is very important. The menstrual cycle is like everything for a woman. And I remember knowing that, like, and thinking that, but not really placing too much importance because I was young and I didn't really, you know, so I wasn't alarmed about it until around that time when I said, okay, I got to change it. I ended up coming home that day with a bag of herbs in my hand. It was old school where you actually have to cook your herbs. Nowadays, it's a lot of times pills because it's just too much to ask, I think, of people with a busy schedule to cook the herbs, but it was a lot more potent and it was amazing. And I came home, took my herbs. The day I came home, I got my period. And ever since then, I was regular. So that blew me away. It was my first taste of natural medicine that it really blew me away. Like I was like, oh my God, this is like years of me going to so many different doctors and everybody giving me the pill and not getting any solution. And I go to this guy and I come home with my period. It was like, it was incredible. So that was one of the things that happened. Plus, you know, I was working in New York City. I was stressed out architect. I also felt like a sense of well-being. I started to feel more myself, but it's like weird because I haven't felt myself in like years. So, but it's like, I knew that I felt like everything was coming into place. Like my skin was getting better. it affected me not only like physically, but it affected me emotionally. Things that used to bother me didn't bother me as much anymore. I was able to just let things roll off my back. So I was really amazed at how I felt as a human being, as an individual. So that was like the first introduction to wellness and Chinese medicine. And that was really what sparked a flame in me. Shortly after that, I met my husband, and he's definitely a pivotal person in my life. Years later, he actually encouraged me and told me, listen, you're not satisfied in your career. You may as well change and do something that you love doing. He graduated his residency. We moved to Florida. I enrolled in Ayurvedic school, studied natural medicine. It was a good way to really dip my feet in because it wasn't as intense and it was really amazing. And so I knew that I eventually wanted to go back to school for acupuncture. Then had kids, and I thank Dr. Lee for the fact that I was able to have kids, because had it not been for Dr. Lee, I know that I would have had a very hard time. First of all, knowing when, I mean, God only knows in the 3 month span when you're ovulating. And also if I was ovulating, there was probably a host of problems going on that I had no idea about because I was too young to really look into it. You know, I wasn't in a place where I was trying to conceive. So I thank him for it. It's something that I believe on a subconscious level sparked my passion for fertility. I ended up going back to school for acupuncture and studied Chinese medicine, herbalism. Now I have my practice and I also do hypnosis because I believe in the mind and how I would basically treat a lot of patients and some would get better for a little bit and always go back to the same condition again. I said, what's going on? When they're here, they're doing great. And then they leave for a little bit and it comes right back. And I would start to pay attention to language and beliefs, things that they would say. I'm always like this. And I said, okay, we need to work on belief here. I do something where I combine acupuncture and hypnosis, where I'm able to use points to really stimulate an opening in the channels and also an opening in your consciousness. And anybody who's done acupuncture can probably relate to this feeling. You've done acupuncture, correct?
I have, yes. Mm-hmm.
So have you ever felt like it's I call it an acunap, where you almost feel like there's a light switch and you're like in some other dimension and you come back and it's kind of like this weird type of nap. The combination of getting into the psyche is a really interesting thing. And I actually find that, I mean, I can get really deep here, but sometimes I'll tune in to the energy. And I'm not sure if you've heard of the book Energy Medicine by Jill Blakeway. She's an acupuncturist. She's a fertility acupuncturist. Oh, it's amazing. She talks about how for years that her heart was in training with the heart energy of the patients, which I thought was so interesting, but it was like literally scientifically studied.
Wow.
What fascinates me is that we don't know anything. And that's what's so cool, is that there's so much to discover and so much connection. So so I'm just like a constant, I guess, a professional student. I love learning more and more about what creates this space of healing for people. I love learning about what is it, you know, the conception can work on so many different levels. It's not just the body, it's also the mind. So that's my story.
That's fascinating. And it's amazing to me that you had such awareness at a relatively young age that something wasn't right in your body. And I think just the intuition to seek out that help and not stop till you found a real fix. I think many, many women are on birth control throughout their 20s and even, you know, into their 30s and just have no idea what their body should be doing or would be doing if they didn't have that synthetic hormone in there. So it's really fascinating to me because I'm thinking of myself at those same stages and I was completely clueless. I couldn't tell you if I was having periods or not. I don't remember, you know, so.
Yeah, we don't know.
Right.
Because when you're on it, you have no idea what's really going on underneath the surface. And for a while, I was also like, I didn't really want to deal with it. But I think that all of us have that intuition.
Mm-hmm. So for women who are just sort of starting to wake up to their bodies and the idea of fertility, and they're starting to ask these questions for the first time. Maybe they're thinking that they want to conceive in the next few years. Like, what are some of the things that they should be paying attention to? So obviously you said missing periods or having long cycles. That's exactly one thing, but what else would help women kind of clue into the fact that something may be off?
One of the best things that anybody can do, really, and they don't have to do this a lot, like, or so many months, but learning how to chart your cycle is huge. It's a great way to get insight on what's happening with your body temperature-wise, where you're ovulating in your cycle, because just taking the sticks, those stick tests, all that tells you is that your brain is producing LH, which is really there to stimulate the ovaries, but you don't know if the ovaries are responding or what's happening. You know,
could you say a little bit more about what you mean by the temperature? I mean, I'm familiar with the basal body temperature, but some of the listeners might not be. So could you explain that?
Sure. Absolutely. And there's a lot of really good books that explain exactly how to do it, but it's basically you take a basal body thermometer, much more sensitive than a regular thermometer. And you could do that, or there's also thermometers that are immediately linked to apps. So all you have to do is basically put it in your mouth before you put your feet on the ground when you're waking up. The reason being is because as soon as you get out of bed, your temperature is going to change. So the best way to do it is the same time, if possible. It's not always possible. And if not, just do it anyway. Make sure you've been sleeping for at least 3 consecutive hours and put the thermometer in your mouth before you get out of bed. And basically that's what you do every single day. You write that down. And there are certain apps that you can put it in. And those apps also ask you about cervical mucus. That's something that you can start to pay attention to see if around the time of ovulation, you have cervical mucus, because that's a good sign that your body's preparing for ovulation, because the cervical mucus creates a pH where the sperm are able to survive. And so those are things that you can start paying attention to. And you can get really deep with this. You can start right. Also going in with a finger and feeling it if your cervix is soft. And you'd be amazed. You can actually feel it almost turning from like a hard plastic feeling to like soft lips around the time of ovulation. That means it's opening for the sperm to come in. So those are things that you can pay attention to just to see how your body's reacting. And that's a great way just for observation of your cycle. Another good thing is also detoxing, not even so much from a cleanse in your own body, but also getting rid of certain plastics, not using plastic bottles, because all of those, and also certain products and cosmetics that have chemicals and toxins, those are xenoestrogens, which means it's like a fake estrogen that confuses the body, and the body's hormonal balance is so delicate that if you put something fake in, the body's going to say, oh, I have too much of this. I'm going to stop producing. It's called the negative feedback loop. So any kind of confusion on external toxins or something that pretends to be or looks like a hormone confuses the body's endocrine system and over time affects fertility. That's something that's really important to do. Also, certain diets and supplements. The reason why supplements are so important nowadays is because the earth and the farming lands are just not what they used to be. A lot of them are overplanted, they're overgrown, overused, and it dilutes really the vitamins and minerals in the soil. So it's important with a lot of supplements to get extra therapeutic doses.
With supplements, so I'm sure that it differs from woman to woman in terms of exactly what a particular person might need, but are there standard supplements that you would recommend?
One thing for sure is get a really good prenatal. I'm not personally crazy about prescription prenatals. They're not great from what I've looked at. A lot of them have synthetic folic acid, which I don't like. I personally recommend finding one with folate or methylated folate. A lot of people with the MTHFR gene mutation cannot absorb folic acid. So basically circulates around their body and doesn't really know what to do. And it actually can get in the way of absorbing the correct type, which is folate, which is the non-synthetic form. And most people have this gene mutation that they don't even realize it, and it can affect miscarriage. And there's other reasons why folate's better. It also, folic acid has been shown, or I've read some information that it can cause food allergies in the baby. So it's just better altogether to just start with a prenatal vitamin that has folate instead of folic acid. And also you can think about like MyKind Organics is really good because it's based on whole foods. So it's not synthetic. It's really based from food. So it's concentrated food. Your body is able to recognize much easier.
And so would a good prenatal have everything a woman would need, or are there additional supplements that you suggest?
Yeah, there are definitely additional, but it really depends, because some people may have PCOS and they're going to benefit from certain types. Some people have the MTHFR, they may benefit from other ones. So it really depends on the person and why they're going through fertility. And then there's unexplained infertility. You can work also on like low ovarian reserve and low egg quality. There are definitely supplements that have completely changed the egg quality, because I've worked on people that have gone through IVF and have had a hard time retrieving before they came to me. And so months, it takes at least 3 months to really prepare. It could take up to a year, which is why I think it's so smart of anybody to just start early. And so they basically can take these supplements, and these supplements can actually improve the egg quality and the numbers and everything.
In that 3 month period minimum with supplements, is that the same with acupuncture?
Yes, anything you do basically, because it takes 3 months for eggs to mature. So whatever you're doing in your body is basically nourishing that seed, so to speak.
Right.
So it takes that time for it to actually show up. Yeah.
And I know you are big on coupling this kind of holistic medicine with also some mindfulness practices. So could you talk to us a little bit about that piece of the puzzle?
Yes. So basically how Chinese medicine looks at all of life is this yin and yang balance. And they're basically two opposites. It's like night and day, hot and cold. Yin is very nourishing. It's moist. It's cool. And yang is hot. It's like the sun. It's fire. It moves fast. So you kind of get the image. I mean, I can go into it a lot, but it's just basically, it's like this moon is yin. The egg is yin. The sperm is yang. It moves. It's more active, but yet they both interconnect. So in Chinese medicine, getting this perfect harmony of yin and yang is what we always aspire to do in order to allow the body to heal itself. So we don't really see ourselves as the healers. We're just facilitating an environment for the body to heal. So what I've noticed in general is when people get acupuncture, or when they get to the state of balance, giving their body what it needs, it actually ends up creating this state of calm. So like they'll come in and do acupuncture, and it just creates this state of homeostasis and like peace. Cause that's really what peace is when everything kind of falls into place and then you get into this flow. And so this state of calm is what is needed in order for healing to occur. Another way of getting there is through mindfulness and spending time paying attention to your breath. You can actually create that state in your own body at home right now by doing that. If you can't go to the acupuncturist, or even massaging your feet or doing certain things to just get some energy flow, but creating that mindfulness, paying attention to your body, it actually, your body will start to respond. You pay attention to Aries, like just scanning your body, and just by paying attention to it and noticing how your breath is and releasing your breath or breathing into the tension. It's crazy. It sounds like very simplistic, but just by putting your attention to breathing into that area, you'll start to feel it dissipating.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I went through yoga teacher training several years ago, and all of those cues about, you know, breathe into your toes, and you're thinking, that's not biologically possible. But then once you feel it, you're like, oh, I am breathing into
totally.
My lower back tension. Or
yeah. And so that's the power that our minds have that I don't think even like science has caught up with. We have like so much power by just taming our mind and creating that sense of peace.
Yes.
It's pretty
and
cool.
Something that this is kind of changing the subject a little bit, but that just sparked a thought that you and I have talked a little bit about the connection of spirituality and fertility. And for most of my listeners, we are single women who are thinking about ways to either prolong our fertility while we wait for Mr. Right, or we are conceiving on our own. That means mm-hmm. that even without known fertility issues, we're using fertility medicine to get us to that point of motherhood. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering about thoughts you have or ideas you have for making it more of a spiritual experience mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, with natural conception, it's very clear how that's, you know, the union of two beings and all of that. It's harder to feel that when you're in a doctor's office. So can you help?
You know what? I'll tell you this. I mean, maybe this will reframe. If I believe, and I am very spiritual, if it exists, it comes from the spirit. If you are able to go to a lab and get this done, it's because it's part of the whole process. It's just part of the process. It's meant to be just as much because it is. It just because it is. I mean, I think it's so spiritual. The whole thing is spiritual. I've heard of amazing connections. We had just spoken about this, about donor eggs and how they look exactly like their parents. And then I've had stories about people dreaming about them, just crazy things mm-hmm. that have to be, I mean, it's so aligned, and it was a calling, and that was the method of the way they were meant to do it. Mm-hmm. It's exactly how they were meant to do it.
Definitely. So will you tell us a little bit about your program, the Wholesome Fertility Method?
Yes. So basically, this is a program that I have in my office, but I ended up starting the podcast, and I had a lot of people reach out to me asking if I can help them. And I did a couple of online coaching, which I do. And I started to realize, like, I could take a lot of this information, basically everything but the acupuncture and herbs. So what I did instead of doing the acupuncture is I did acupressure with essential oils to stimulate points. And I basically gave them everything that I give my patients. And now I give my patients this. It's like an online course where I recorded everything that I was teaching my patients, which is how to chart your cycle, but a little bit more, because I also taught them how to figure out their own pattern from a Chinese medicine perspective so that they can understand what kind of elements their bodies tend to have, if they don't have enough fire, if they have too much dampness. And then I go into the nutrition part, so they can figure out their patterns by themselves in a very, very layman way. Like, it's super easy. It's just basically like observing nature. And then they go into the detox, what products to avoid, where to go shopping. There's an online place. Everything that you get there is clean. So it's like a much easier way, so it doesn't seem so overwhelming. And what to think about. Like, sometimes people forget that pads are really important, and tampons, because you're putting it right there. So, you know, those are things that even I forgot about. Those are things that you want, obviously, not to have chemicals and not to have anything that can disrupt the sex organs, you know?
Right.
So basically I go over it from A to Z, and then I even give some Ayurvedic detox remedies that are very gentle, that are not too harsh, because sometimes too much detox isn't good either. And then I go into the supplements and nutrition. And with that, I explain which supplements are good for who. And I also go over some herbs and supplements that are good for men as well, that have shown to improve sperm count. And then I also go over certain types of foods and the elements in foods that can actually balance out any patterns that you have. So if you have too much cool in your body, which you want warmth, especially when you're trying to conceive, there's certain foods that can increase that fire and certain things that you can do. So it's basically how to figure out your own lock and key and figure out how to balance that out. And I really do believe that people can do that themselves. They don't need other people. It's just a matter of really tuning in. And then I go into mindfulness. I put hypnosis audios there, basically taking you as a whole and not leaving any stones unturned, really figuring out your whole pattern and getting to know yourself and your body and really tuning in. And also I go over the intimacy. I mean, you could, I guess in certain circumstances, if you're single, you can still connect with that intimacy, you know, the juice is flowing, right. But it's good. It's important. Or if you have a boyfriend, you're just whatever it is, but I go over that as well. And then also rituals and the importance of bringing the sacred energy into your life, which I feel like is lost a lot of times these days.
Well, that's great. So it sounds like it's very tailored to the individual. It's not a one size fits all, because within the program, there are ways to kind of determine what's right for
exactly.
you.
And they'll also be able to learn acupressure points to stimulate depending on their patterns. And also most of them that I share are really good for fertility. It's ones that I use all the time. And then they can stimulate it with pressure, both pressure and essential oils, which it gives essential oil blends and recipes.
So when would be a good time for a woman to go through that program, and like how far before they're trying to conceive, or should they be doing it while they're trying to conceive?
Well, if they're thinking about doing it a year from now, I would say start now, but anywhere from 3 months to a year, anytime you really start beforehand is great, because you're just going to get yourself that much more ready. Mm-hmm. I see it as like tending the soil. When you're about to plant a garden, the garden does so much better when it has the nourishment that it needs.
And what about for women who are looking to preserve fertility? So they're not planning to conceive or trying to conceive right now, but maybe they're going through an egg freezing cycle. Mm-hmm. Would it also be appropriate for?
Of course, because then it's going to improve their egg quality. And I've actually had a lot of women come in for egg retrievals.
On the other side of that, do you have suggestions for women who are looking to sort of cleanse or detox or come back to a more holistic place after having gone through all of the fertility treatment?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of the ways, you just think about how the body cleanses. Number one is the liver. That one of the things that you can do that basically is not, without giving you like an herb to take, which I wouldn't over, you know,
podcast.
The podcast.
Right.
But basically one of the ways, which is a beautiful and amazing way, is the hot lemon and water. I know you can hear about it a lot, but this is something that I learned back in Ayurvedic school. Lemon, the sour taste actually is the taste of the liver, or not the taste of the liver, but like that's the taste that represents the liver. So hot water and lemon on an empty stomach every single day actually helps your body start the cleanse process, because you're going with an empty stomach and you're just kind of washing through. And if you can even do two of them before even having any other drink or food, is a great way to do it. Another thing is, if you really want to do a cleanse, but do it gently, is you can have liquids for a couple of days. Mung bean soup is really good for cleansing the system. It's really detoxifying. You could find recipes online. Mung bean soup, it's Indian. It's an Ayurvedic recipe, and it's very, very cleansing. And you can fast on that for a couple of days. And it also is very rich in folate. So that's also beneficial.
So I'm wondering, it would be lovely if I lived close enough for you to treat me. But obviously you're in Florida, I'm in Texas, and our listeners are all over the world. If someone's looking for an acupuncturist, what are some of the things they should be looking for or questions to ask? Like, how do you go about finding a good practitioner?
Okay. So if you're looking for somebody, obviously, who specializes in fertility, I suggest highly for somebody to go to what's called the ABORM site. It's the American Board of Oriental Reproductive Medicine. They can find practitioners nationally, actually, and worldwide that are certified with them. In order to be certified with them, you have to take a very rigorous test and you have to learn about everything. And it took me years to really understand all of this information and like really get it in my mind. So I can't imagine really anything comparing to going with somebody who had to take that test, because they know a lot more about reproductive medicine than just the average Chinese medicine physician. So I would suggest definitely go with a fellow of ABORM.
Well, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make sure that we share with the listeners?
I always go back to self-care, you know, to really putting yourself first, giving yourself the care, the sacred no, when you need to create healthy boundaries. I know that a lot of people don't have boundaries that are around fertility patients, and I hear about that. So give yourself that.
And Michelle, where can people find you if they want to know more about your work or more about the Wholesome Fertility Method?
So my main website is www.thewholesomelotus.com. There's a link to the Wholesome Fertility Method, but basically if you want to go straight there, it's www.thewholesomefertilitymethod.com.
All right, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
I hope you guys learned some things from that interview. And I want you to know that Michelle is just the kindest, most knowledgeable person. And you should totally reach out to her if anything she was talking about was of interest to you. Look up the Wholesome Fertility Method and consider joining her program. So Michelle and I kept chatting after we finished the interview. And I thought I had hit stop on the recording and then later realized it was still recording. And I started to talk to Michelle about something that's been kind of a topic of interest of mine throughout this whole conception process. So, like I said in the interview, you know, those of us who are doing IVF and IUI and we're conceiving without a partner, sometimes it can just feel very clinical and kind of sterile. And I've really been exploring where the spirituality and sort of the magic lies within this process. And I shared with her a story of kind of the difference in my experience between actually being pregnant and having a sense that I just wasn't spiritually connected to that embryo or that pregnancy, that process. Like that, it just felt very wrong, like hollow and empty, just not, it just didn't feel like my baby. And then around the new year, I didn't share this part with her, but around the new year, I went out to West Texas and I did a hiking trip on my own. And that was something that I felt very sort of intuitively called into. And I spent a couple days in the mountains just walking around and thinking and praying. And that was the point where I really felt like I first connected with my child. And right before I took that trip, I got some news about the embryos that had been created from the IVF cycle that I was doing, where I combined my frozen eggs and then also a batch of fresh eggs. And so I tell her about kind of the difference between those two experiences. And I've been asked before how I went from feeling just totally panicked about fertility and motherhood to a place where right now I do feel pretty comfortable just waiting and giving myself some time and space. And it's just not something I was able to do until I got to a certain point. And I think that what I share with Michelle is part of the answer to that question. So I thought I'd share it because it's part of my story and it's a part that I haven't been able to articulate very clearly elsewhere. And so I wanted to share it with you here.
So something I think is really interesting, and I feel like there's just a handful of people who would get this. And I feel like you're one of those people. So I did get pregnant on my fourth IUI and I miscarried. It was a missed miscarriage. So I probably miscarried around 6-7 weeks, but it was 9 weeks when I did the DNC. But that entire time I knew I was pregnant, I just had this sense that I wasn't. Like, I knew something biologically was happening in my body, but I kept like kind of checking in and like kind of trying to find my baby, like spiritually. And I just had
this, I was empty, like,
yeah. And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but it's not going to. And so when I went in the first time and they were supposed to be able to hear the heartbeat and they couldn't find it, it made so much sense. Like, I wasn't emotional. I didn't cry. It was just like, yeah, it would have been confusing to me if you had been able to find the heartbeat.
Right.
Like, it just, I don't know what that experience was there to teach me.
So you definitely, I mean, connected. You have like this intuition.
I very much knew that was not a viable pregnancy. And I did not connect with my, like, the emotional, like, spiritual connection with my baby until after I got the news from my embryos. So I was in the Verizon store of all places. It was like 3 days before Christmas, my phone was crapping out.
And this is after? This was after?
This was after, yeah. So I had the pregnancy. I did 2 more IUIs after that, changed doctors and changed donors. And the last 2 IUIs, I really was hopeful that they would work. And I was different doctor, different donor. Everything just felt better. And then I switched to IVF using the same donor that I'd used in the last 2 IUIs. And so, but I brought my eggs over from the previous clinic, brought them to the new clinic and had them fertilized there. And so, but I still had it in my mind that it wasn't enough. They're just total scarcity mindset. It's not going to work out. I just spent all this money for nothing. Like, that's totally what I was thinking. And then here I am in the Verizon store and I get the news that my embryos, that 5 of them came back chromosomally normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like bawling. I know the bride and guy, like, wow. What is happening? But the embryologist was like, I just wanted to tell you as soon as possible, but you have an email. I've sent you an email and you'll be able to see the stats, like the numbers and measurements and, you know, all the things on each embryo. And so I was still standing in the Verizon store. I opened that up. There are 5 embryos, and Michelle, I knew the second I looked at, it was a list of numbers, and I knew which one was my baby. And not because
he was, I just got the chills.
And he was not the highest ranked embryo.
Oh my God.
Like, I just knew, like, I like said, I don't know if I said it out loud or just in my head, but it was like, my son, there's my son.
Wow.
I knew I was going to have a boy. Like, I just, all this time, I've just, it's not like I'd rather have a boy. It's just like, a boy is what I'm having. Like, I don't.
Yeah, you just know.
You know what I mean? I just know it. Well, out of my embryos, there were 8 embryos that were tested. 3 were abnormal. But out of the 8 embryos, 6 of them were girls.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Right?
That's so crazy. The 3 abnormal were all girls. And so out of my 5 that were remaining, there are 3 girls and 2 boys. And I don't know what it was, but like somehow looking at that paper, it was like, that's
him. Amazing.
To the point where, like, let's just say I ended up meeting Mr. Perfect tomorrow and I don't even use these embryos and I end up using my frozen eggs and I have a child with that person. Like, because I've been in this whole donor world of, like, I've used a donor to create my embryos, I think I'd be comfortable becoming a donor and, like, donating the embryos that I've created to another.
That would be beautiful.
But not that one. Like, I don't know. I think I would have to, like, have some sort of ceremony where I, like, let him go. Like, it'd be like a death.
Maybe not. You know? Why? Why not keep that embryo? If you feel so connected to it, I think you should keep it. Even if you do get married and
yeah.
Yeah, I think you should totally keep that embryo. You don't, no, don't get rid of that.
I mean, I know, I know. Well, I'll probably, I'll transfer sometime in the next 6 months, you know, like long before I'm.
Oh, well, keep me posted. I'd love to know, like, your whole journey.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I'm your host, Katie B. You can learn about me and this project on my website, singlegreatestchoice.com. That's also the place to go if you're interested in being a future podcast guest. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to rate and review in iTunes. That helps more women to find our show. Until next time, I'm sending you all my love and support as you go about making the choices that will create a life you love.